everyone. Welcome to another episode of Caught Between a Tie and High Heels, a transgender podcast journal where I share past experiences and new situations as I slowly step out of the closet to free myself from the tie and live my life completely in the high heels. I'm Jamie, your hostess and friendly neighborhood trans lesbian, and welcome to the podcast. Hello, everyone. Hello. It's been a while. It's been as my child says, it's been a hot grip since we last talked. It is the 7th of September, 2022. It's been, I think the whole month of August, we have not talked. I want to say that's right. Yes, it is right. We have not talked. We have not talked for the entire month of August. Holy crap. I did not mean for it to take this long to get back into recording, but a lot has happened. A lot has happened, and I'm going to share with you. So we might go a little longer than a half hour, but hey, that's what podcasts are for. So we're going to do our best and see how everything goes, but I've got a lot to share. And just to catch you up on what the hell's been going on since I last talked to you. And I listened back to the previous episode that I recorded last before this one. And then we went out to a drag race. Oh, my God. We did not go to a drag race. I could not see a drag queens running down a runway as fast as they can in high heels. Maybe it's a new sport. I don't know. Maybe it could work. But no. We went to a drag show, and I was talking about that and how wonderful a time I had. And I talked about ripping out my voice at that point, and I think that's what started everything. I think that may have been the beginning of the downfall that caused me to take the entire month of August off. From doing podcasts. So first and foremost, you may have known I got the vids. I got the vids really bad. And both me and Dee. Dee got it a little less than I. She was just kind of, neither one of us got a really heavy fever. We had an elevated fever of, I think the highest that we both got up to is like 99.7, 99.8. But we were definitely miserable. I mean, it just hurt to move. We got up, we maybe ate a piece of toast, and then we just sat and blew our nose. And it was really like kind of having the bad flu. You stay cuddled up with everything. The big problem was is that she tested positive 2 days before I did. So it was a Sunday night. We were trying to do things around the house, and we had gotten a couple things done. And we were getting the kitchen ready in order to get the cabinets. The guy with the cabinets is going to come in on Monday. And, the very next day. And he was going to install our new kitchen cabinets, like little slider trays, and build our pantry because our pantry sucked. It was just awful. So we were getting the house, the kitchen all ready, which basically meant we were taking everything out of the pantry, everything out of all the cabinets and everything else and burying the kitchen table. While we're doing this, she's like, Dee was like, oh, I gotta sit down. I think, just give me a minute. Just let me just rest for a second. We both sat down, had some water, and we were like, I got up and I was feeling kind of freaky. I wasn't feeling too good. She wasn't. And I gave her a kiss on the forehead, which is what we normally do. And I'm like, ooh, you're kind of warm. Took her temperature, and she was at 99.6. For her, that's huge. And so I said, you're testing. So as soon as she tested, I mean, literally, the test took 15 minutes at home. And I could already see the sign on the little test strip or the whatever. It looks like a pee stick for going to figure out whether or not you're pregnant or not. And yeah, she had the vids. She definitely had the vids. So we instantly broke the house out. She felt really bad because we have to now do all this configuration. And I'm like, I'll call the guy tomorrow. I'll tell him that we're not going to be able to, you know, we've got COVID in the house and, you know, the whole nine. Meanwhile, we isolate her upstairs in the master bedroom. I end up taking over the guest bathroom and I pop a tent. I can't sleep alone in certain places. It's my house. I totally understand that. But I need a bed to kind of sleep in, sort of. And so I have a little instant tent. It's a two-person instant tent. You just pull it out of the bag. It looks like a big steering wheel, and you pop it out. Poof, you got a bag. Or you've got a tent. So we're basically living like this, and I wake up the next morning. I'm very sore. I'm not feeling so hot. I'm feeling kind of woozy and weird. And I'm calling everybody. It's like, I got a doctor's appointment. I got a appointment with the vet. I had to call everyone and let them know, hey, we've got COVID. I need to reschedule. And right now I'm caring for my wife. So I'm making breakfast, lunch, and dinner for her, carrying it up. You know, we've got a whole system. They were keeping the cat away because the CDC said to keep your cat away. And I'm basically doing caregiving service for my wife, which, you know, that's no problem. She, poor girl's sick, so she's locked up in our bedroom. And I call the guy for the cabinets, and he says, well, I texted him. I said, well, I'm happy to reschedule. We've got COVID. And he was like, oh, well, if you knew how many houses I went in and people had COVID, he goes, I'm already halfway to your house anyway. He goes, I'm actually 10 minutes away. And I'm like, oh, well, okay. I mean, I can mask up if you want. He goes, I really don't care. It doesn't make any difference. So he came and he installed our cabinets. Meanwhile, my health is starting to decline. So it was, and I'm feeling really bad. Like, I'm getting the effects of, I have been really prone to sinus infections. And so I start feeling like my whole face feels like there's an anvil and it's just weighing down. I've got a mild headache. I've got post-nasal drip. Like, nobody, it feels like I'm swallowing glass. And my throat just continues to feel raw, even when I'm not swallowing. And that's when I know that things are really not as they're supposed to be. So speaking of which, I'm just going to quick drink break. Okay, so we get into it. He's doing the cabinets. He ends up, because the pantry is a huge build, he comes back on Tuesday. By the time he leaves on Tuesday, I start really declining. And to the point where I don't even want to eat. And that's a lot for me. If I don't eat, that, you know, that's saying something, because I'm a large mammal and I like food. And I'm an omnivore, you know, for sure, card-carrying member. So I like to eat. And when I don't feel like eating, now we've got a problem. Now I know that I am not well. So I test. And sure as shit, as the picture that I posted on Instagram and our Facebook page, I got the vids. So I tested positive on that Tuesday. And so we went through the, and I also ended up having to call the doctor, and I'm like, okay, I've tested positive. I also believe that I've got a really raging sinus infection. I need help, please. And the doctor cleared us to what we could, because the CDC said, well, if you have distance between when your housemate, whoever you're living with, spouse or otherwise, if they test positive and then you test positive on a later date, you may be off sync and you could overload someone with more of the coronavirus virus, and or their exposure to the virus as we, you know, what's causing the issues, I guess. Again, I'm not doing it justice what it said, because, but I'm not going to commit it to memory, whatever. We were worried. The doctor said, don't worry about it. Cohabitate. You're fine. And that's what we did. We ended up just being miserable together. And I still cooked when we could, and fetched water and pills and that type. But got my antibiotics, which was great. The second week after we had it, we were going into our second week, we were starting to feel a little bit better. I had a Z-Pak for antibiotics, and I was starting to feel a little bit better, but my sinuses never really got better. And we were also dealing with, after a week after that or so, because I had it a little bit harder than she did. We've been dealing with fatigue and congestion and so forth and so on. So I just figured that this was what it was. Well, here come to find out, 2 weeks ago, I still, on the health side of things, I still had a major sinus infection. She looked at me, my ears were clear, my throat was clear, and I was like, yeah, I don't have post-nasal drip, or I don't have a sore throat right now, but my face just feels heavy. I mean, I'm getting dizzy when I turn and, you know, look around and everything. When I look down at my phone for a long period of time and then I look up, I start getting dizzy. And I'm hydrating because of the hormones that I'm on. I have to, in the hormone blockers, I have to drink water. If I don't drink water, then I'm up poops creek. And so I have to hydrate. I've got to overhydrate pretty much and pee tremendous amounts every day. And I was doing that, but it got so bad that I had to leave my D&D group. We always play on Tuesday nights, and I had to leave the group. I was like, I gotta go home. I feel like shit. And so, left, came home. I was like, I got this. So the very next day I felt just as shitty, and I called and I said, I gotta get on an antibiotic. I just finished that 3 days ago. I'm feeling great. I'm feeling okay. I won't say great. I'm maybe like 95%. So I know that there's still something else that has to happen. And I know that I've got to get a pneumonia virus, because they did a test on me a couple of years ago. And I've been really lazy in not getting the virus done, but the doctor said, well, you have really a lot of chronic, sinus infections. And I said, yeah, tell me about it. Hello. The state is trying to kill me, and I do not like the state in which I live in. I know that I don't think the state likes me either. So the feeling is very mutual, but with allergies and all this other stuff, I believe that it is slowly trying to kill me. But he said, when he came back, he said that, yes, you are deficient in this one. And I can't remember whatever that would make you more susceptible to more sinus infections. If you get the virus, the vaccine for pneumonia, it'll put it in your body. You'll feel poopy for a couple of days and then you'll feel okay. And I just have failed to do it, because trying to schedule 2 days when you know you're going to feel like crap and you do nothing, that's just something you really don't want to work into your week. You know, so I didn't do it, and I've put it off and I put it off and put it off. So now next week I'm going to do it. I've already got a date scheduled. I'm going in on Monday. So I'm probably, and don't worry, I'll probably record another episode before then. I'm going in on Monday. I'm going to get the shot, and then we'll just see where things lie from there. So that was one thing. COVID sucked. I'm still dealing with the fatigue. For some reason, my energy level has really decreased over the last month, just because I, you know, spent 2 weeks at kind of catatonic to some degree. And I'm not that much of an active person anyway, or haven't been, even though I want to be. And it's just, again, finding that motivation. My fatigue has been pretty bad. So I'm trying to build up. I'm trying to be more active. I'm trying to walk more. Hopefully that'll help out. I'm really trying to better myself in one way or the other. Because, again, I got to look out for me. So let's see. What else? So we had the recovery. Still dealing with that. During all of this, I ended up also coming to a major realization that I know that had been hinted around about many times in my life. But I just sort of, whatever. But I'm definitely ADHD. I think that I was a undiagnosed case of ADHD when I was young. Because just about every single thing that every test, I've taken a handful of them, you know, those online tests, and there's only so much that I'm gonna, but when they come up with the same result constantly, it's like, well, okay, you've kind of got to stand up and take notice every once in a while. So I figured I got ADHD. I fit all the word is escaping me anyway. All of the key things that the key signs that you are ADHD. I cannot read. The only way that I could read is doing audiobooks, which has been a huge help, and I've been able to actually read more, and I'm just loving audiobooks. I cannot say enough about that. And God bless the narrators, the people who do the voice work. First of all, A, incredible voices. B, just really wonderful. So I've got nothing but wonderful things to say about them. But they've helped me through COVID as well. I binge watched so many weird shows. Emily in Paris. There was just so many. I went back and I watched episodes of shows that I've seen before. I watched a lot of Andy Griffith. I know every one of those episodes because that's what I watch every day with my mom. But when I was caring for her, when she was living with us, and I know Andy Griffith, but I just sat there like a mouth breather and just watched the Andy Griffith Show. what else? I don't know. I went off on a tangent, but I'm trying to get a little bit better with the fatigue. Trying to do all that. Let's see. HDAD. See, there you go. I get off on a tangent and here I am. I'm back. So, all right. So ADHD. And the reason that this is a big revelation to me was I was just looking at the computer and just doing arbitrary stuff, working on Pinterest and that type of thing. And I was really surprised how much stuff ends up popping up. So they either heard me, like the big brother ended up hearing me, that I think, you know, I was talking with Dee, like, maybe I have ADHD. And she's like, yeah, you definitely do. My ex-wife even told me that she believes, didn't tell me directly, told me through my now wife, because my first wife and Dee get along. So they actually have conversations and everything. They conversationalize, is what I was going to say. But yes, they have conversations and they talk, and she shares things with my now wife. And I'm just like, oh boy. Okay. Luckily my D takes things with a grain of salt. So and she considers the source. Not that my ex-wife is awful. It's just that she has probably a little biased view on things because we did get a divorce. I still think she's a wonderful person. Don't really want to live with her, but she's a wonderful person. Anyway, as an educator, because that's what my ex-wife did all her life, she's been a teacher. And she ended up saying that, yes, I am indeed probably a misdiagnosed case of ADHD. And I really think so, because I'm only interested in doing things that I'm interested in. If it's not something that interests me, I really don't care. Mathematics. Snorefest. I don't care. All this work about algebra 2, trigonometry, geometry, I really have not used any of that in my life. I have not used spatial relations or anything. I know how to subtract, multiply, divide. I know when you look at a ticket on or a receipt, you know, you want to know what 20% is. If it's $52.33, and that means you moved a decimal over one, it's 10% is $5.30. So you double that, and there you go. You're $10.60. That's how you figure out how 20%. Hello, it's not hard. But that's not, I don't need to go through all the geometry. I don't need to go through all the trig. I don't need to go through all the algebra 2s. All this other crap. It's boring as shit. I don't like it. So therefore, I didn't pay attention. I ended up getting a D. Even when I tried. I really tried. After I failed geometry the first time, I tried the second time in order for me to be... And I took meticulous notes. I mean, my notebook, I look back at it. I found it a year or two ago. I took really good notes, and I tried. I had the formulas down. I showed all my work, everything. No, I got a D-. That was the only thing. The teacher was felt sorry for me because I had failed it the first year. Excuse me. More water. Sorry. There we go. So I failed it the first year, and I think that they just felt sorry for me. But again, it's the same thing. Like, I'm not going to, even now I'm doing audiobooks, I am not going to listen to a book that doesn't interest me. The Good Earth. I'm sure that it's a fantastic book. I have no interest. I was forced to read it when I was in high school. I barely remember two chapters of that. And I'm good. We're totally fine. The Razor's Edge. I actually have that book in my library for to listen to. Only because I really loved the movie. But the movie doesn't portray what was in the book. So I got in trouble for that because I did the report on the movie, not the book. So, yeah. If I'm not interested in doing it, but the only thing is that what interests me revolves like a tornado. And so, like, I may be interested in doing something right now, but then 2 seconds, if I see something or I hear something, well, then all of a sudden now I get this urge that that's what I've got to do. So I drop what I'm doing and I go do that. And I'm trying. I'm trying. After 52 years, I think that I am I'm making some headway, but I don't think I'll ever be really truly free from the grips that this has on me. It's just the way I am, you know. But speaking of which, getting back to what has happened since I last spoke, I turned 52. And it was really, really wonderful. And I will say that turning 52, it's hard for me. It honestly, it's just a number. And I even wrote this. I put up a post in the Instagram. I was like, okay, if I'm old enough to remember flash cubes for cameras, why do I mentally feel like high school just ended 5 years ago? You know, like, I graduated school 5 years ago. I figured mentally that's where I'm at. But physically, I'm getting old. I'm over a half a century old. Like, the shit that I have seen. And you know what? What really freaks me out is that I remember looking at people that were 50 years old when I was a kid and thinking, Jesus, they're old. But I had no interest in really listening to what they had to say because they're old. So the older I get, the more experience that I feel that I've gotten and the more that I would like to share with others, but no one's going to listen to me because I'm 52 years old. Like, I'm getting too old for people to listen to me. So I just basically wait around, play board games and some cards and wait for death. I don't know. I'm trying to get myself out of that mindset. I mean, granted, I'm going to go live. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to go live and have a good time and try to do as best. And Dee and I are going to, you know, we're going to be happy together. And it's not all doom and gloom, but it's just like nobody wants to hear from a 52-year-old. At least I don't think so. At least you all, you're listening to me, so I appreciate that. But it was a very strange mental and emotional realization that I had as I reflect back on my 52 years of life when I'm working desperately to get to 53. So we'll see what happens. The big news, and I'm glad that you've waited with me and you've hung out with me for 24 minutes now. But the big news is that Dee and I came out to her parents. This was something that is a huge biggie for us. If you've known us or you've followed this podcast, you know that one of the things that has kept me from expressing myself outwardly and presenting more feminine more often and always looking over my shoulder, like, who saw me, you know, this, and worry about the neighbors and everything else, has been that we have not come out to my in-laws. I love my in-laws. There's nothing I hold more dear than my wife, but they're second. They're the only family I've got left. My dad died back in 2004. Mom just passed in 2021, right in front of me, which I'm still dealing with to some degree. But yeah, they're all I've got. And so it was like coming out to my parents almost all over again. And I was really hoping that it was going to go very similar to the way it did with my mom, that I'm just like building myself up for nothing. And I had to watch Dee go through that because she'd never done this before. And she had a huge fear that her parents were going to disown her. And it was a huge fear. And we were going over and she was like, Dad's going to be really angry. Dad's going to be really, really angry. And I said, well, do you think, because I mean, he's had a stroke before. Do you think that this is going to like make him angry to the point where he's going to have a heart attack or another stroke? I said, I don't want this man keeling over because we're saying that I'm transgender. We literally worked ourselves up way more than what we needed to. And we were like looking at each other. We held each other's hand going in the door. Oh, excuse me. I got the hiccups again. God bless it. Sorry. You get it all, though. You get it raw. There you go. That's my hiccups and everything. Okay, I'm suppressed. We're good. Okay. So we went in. Dee immediately started to cry. She tried to hold it together for a little while, but we sat down and I started saying, you know, hey, we wanted to come over because we really, you know, we love you guys and we respect you and we want to talk to you about stuff. And Dee just instantly started crying, and that got her mom really worried, like, okay, what's going on? And so I just knew that if I went on and I carried on so much that the preface that I was throwing on it was going to cause more anxiety than just coming out and saying it. So I ripped the Band-Aid off and I said, well, we wanted to let you know that I am transgender. Always have been all my life, always will be for the rest of my life. And I said, that's something that we have worked on together in our relationship. She's known from the very beginning. Dee actually knew, I don't know if I think I've told you all this, but just to rehash, I ended up mentioning it on our second date, a second official date. We talked for a whole month and a half before then, but it was like, I told her, I was like, listen, this has been wonderful. And I love spending time with you. I think you are an amazing individual, but there's something about me you've got to know. And yeah, it was a struggle at first, but you know, for her to wrap her head around, but she still chose to be with me and I'm blessed every day for it. Thank the goddess. And when we came out to her parents, again, I wasn't as hysterical as Diane, but I knew what she was feeling. I knew that, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. I knew that feeling because I had it with my own mom. Although I didn't choose the time when I told my mom, I was forced. So big difference, big, big difference. But we were choosing in order to share this with them now because things are going to, I'm still planning on changing my name. It's been a little bit. Things have gotten in the way. Life, you know, it sucks being an adult. But as that happens, they needed to be more prepared as to this is going to change. Here's what this is going to do. This is going to be. So the response that we ended up getting was really what we hoped for. And it was a lot of the same thing of what I got from my mom, which I think is wonderful. And of course, I couldn't help but break down and cry because here we were thinking the worst. And I said, okay, so I'm transgender. You know, here's the deal. Dee is known from the entire time. You know, this is something that we worked with. And we're now to the point where we want to share this with you. And we're feeling good enough. And we've come a long way in our relationship. And they were like, yeah, okay. And it just made Dee and I cry a little bit harder. And Dee, again, worse than me, but I was like, okay, all right. It took me a hot minute in order for me to realize that, well, you know, this is happening again. And again, they're not completely PC about it, but they're trying. And they are accepting and loving and supporting and said as much. And it's like, we love you. And she, you know, mom was happy to say that she's, you know, got a daughter-in-law as well now. And they've just been super supportive. And we told them that a little bit before my birthday. And we were planning a big trip, which is why also we wanted to, we just felt like, okay, this is a perfect timing in order for us to do this. We're planning a big trip. We've wanted to do this. This is probably the best time, the pinnacle. And we, if we need to do it, let's do it now. And we did. And it's been great. And we told them before my birthday. And this is the first birthday that I have ever spent being called by my preferred name, being called by my preferred pronouns, and I got girly gifts out in the open. My kids knew, and I would get girly gifts on the side. Hey, we wanted to pull you aside and give you these. Got a pair of earrings or a necklace or something like that, which was really, really sweet. But I couldn't open it in front of family. I couldn't open my cards that were from those people who did know that were in my, you know, that not my, they are family, but they're not blood related. The few that would gather with us for Thanksgiving and holidays and that type of stuff, I always had to, open those cards later on. And now I don't have to. I got a pink bag. I still got my Star Wars, which was great. I still got my Mandalorian gift bag, which was cool. And I had a couple Star Wars gifts. But then I also got gift cards to female clothing stores. Not generic, like, oh, here's a gift card to Target. Or here's a gift card to JCPenney. Now, it was, I got a card for Lane Bryant, a gift card to Lane Bryant. I did get a card for Macy's. But again, it's wonderful because the card was addressed to me. And I'm just like, I'm not used to seeing that. The only person that addressed cards to me really was Dee. When we celebrated our anniversary or, you know, another occasion where cards were, you know, a normal thing to give. And it was pretty amazing. And the reaction has been really good. I'm feeling better. We're again, trying to make sure that it's not too much too quick. And so I'm not going to like instantly start dressing feminine, but we're starting, like, I can wear a bra around my in-laws now because my boobs would hurt. They're not that big, but boy, let me tell you, my right one gets really sore. She ends up like, if I go too long without a bra, you can definitely tell because she gets a little sore on me. And I need some support. So now, before I couldn't do that because when they they're huggers, and of course I'm going to hug my mom and dad, so they would feel the bra in the back of my, you know, in my clothing. So I couldn't wear a bra. I'm like, oh God. And so now I can. And it's great. And there's no, oh, you're wearing a bra. You know, there's nothing like that. I'm wearing more dangly earrings. So we're slowly getting there and I'm trying to figure out what exactly how to ease into presenting more feminine. I don't know how that's going to be, but I am really looking forward to giving it a try because I figure that at least something is better than nothing. And I mean, really, I have no reason to hide anymore. I have no reason to be in the closet anymore. Anyone who means anything to me knows they've showed me nothing but love and support. And I am really, really, really blessed to have that and to have that support. When I, for 52 years, there has always been some level of fear. And now, I got to be honest, I really don't have it as much. I don't have that fear. That fear is not the dark cloak that was covering me for so many decades. It was starting to come off a couple of years ago. It was starting to come off a little bit more when I started up this podcast. It was starting to come off a little more when I got my first job as me. And I was doing more things as myself, like going to the store, going to the doctor's office. So all these things culminating have, it's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome. And it's almost unreal for me right now. Really unreal. Because I have to pinch myself sometimes. Like if I know mom and dad are coming over, I don't have to run and change my top. I'm good. I don't, or take off my bra. I can leave it on. They're coming over. Great. No problem. I don't have to lesbian and transgenderify the house when they're coming over. So if we have some things that have, you know, something pride or something like that, it just stays out. I don't have to go and be like anxious, rambunctious, you know, chicken with my head cut off trying to get everything done before they come over. I just leave it. We're good. That's so strange to me. That is so... There's really nothing holding me back. Except for myself now. I am literally the last thing that is in line. And I'm going to be making those changes soon. I can't continue living the way that I'm living. Certain aspects, don't get me wrong. Just things I've been wanting to change for a very long time, but felt like I couldn't. And now there's no reason why I can't. None at all. And I'm really looking forward to that. I think it's awesome. And with that, I can tell you that I am really looking forward to talking with you again next week. I will get back on track with everything, but this is catch up. So I'm glad that you all, hoping you all are, you know, doing safe and you all aren't having to deal with having the vids or anything like that. But I hope you all are doing well, and I really appreciate your patience in allowing me to get my shit back together and get myself back together a little bit. I'm still working on it. Again, that 5%, it'll come around. I'll get it. I just got to be a little bit more active and get back to really living and exercising, doing my walks and all that stuff. So it'll be there. But I really enjoy our time. So thank you. Thank you for listening. And I will talk to you again next week. All right. Toodles.
If you enjoyed this episode, there are a few ways you can help us continue making great content. You can buy us a coffee at buymecoffee.com/Harry Rump. You can purchase some quality shirts and accessories at Harry Rump's House of Stuff, or become a patron at patreon.com/Harry Rump's House of Stuff. You can also do all those and contact us on our website at tieinhighheels.com. You can always find us on Instagram and Facebook at tieinhighheels. And don't forget to give us a review on iTunes. And email all of your comments and questions at Jamie, J-A-I-M-E-E, @tieinhighheels.com. And as always, happy listening!